So, Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. So, no, it was not in it. Book Marathon Ki Jai. So, distributing the transcendental books of Srila Prabhupada, the savior of the whole world. So Srila Prabhupada very expertly picked up on how to please his spiritual master by writing and pleasing these books. So we're making a sacrifice. You're going out distributing books, and despite the cold weather that you have in England. And it's something I don't miss, the only thing I don't miss from England, the cold weather. But you're going to take some austerities and penances. But when we check the lives of Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas, look at the sacrifices they made to give us Krishna consciousness. So human life is meant for sacrifice. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he it was impossible for any human person to do what he did. At the time when 13 upper sampradayas were there against the pure teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vaishnavism had a very bad name at that time because of these teachings of the upper sampradayas. And well, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wanted to get Chaitanya Tamrita. It took him about 6 years to find the Chaitanya Tamrita. Now we can just go to the book table or anywhere and get them in. But that's how bad the situation was. But what he did, was like, he's called the seventh Goswami because of his great achievements in reestablishing Krishna consciousness despite such a situation. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, great austerities and penances he went to. He made a vow to chant ekla koti lakman nam. It means you chant 64 rounds a day for 10 years. That was his vow to do that, and he completed it. So living like sadhu, he had jotted hair and everything. He would do the chatamashra. Eat once a day, you put the kichri on the ground and you, like a cow, you eat like, when you come back, you don't go back down again. That's it for the day, until the next day. So he's living very austerely, like an avidut actually. So, yeah, there's one instance that shows his dedication to executing the orders of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and establishing Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur invited the governor of West Bengal to come to Mayapur. Mayapur was a completely remote place. There was not even proper connection there. There was no road. He had to build a road for this occasion. But anyway, he invited Sir John Anderson, who was the British Raj at that time, to come all the way to Mayapur, which is still a remote village. But he influenced him to come. And so he said to his disciples that these people, they're meat eaters. And Sir John Anderson means a whole entourage. So you have to get food that they're going to eat. You can't just give them rice. It's not their food. So they said, what can we do? He said, go to Nabadweep. You get those Brahmins who worship in Kali, and they cut in goats and things like that. They can come and they can, for our guests of honor. So that happened. And then after the function was finished, the disciples went to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and said, please, Guru Maharaj, you please explain what just happened. He said, here, they were allowed to come here, killing goats, cooking meat here, right on the house of Chandrasekhar Acharya, that was where the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now. And also, there's something left. We don't know what to do. We're thinking throwing in the Ganga, but we don't want to pollute Ganga Devi. We can bury it in the ground, but this is the dust of the Dham is glorious. We don't want to pollute the Dham. We don't know what to do. Guru Maharaj, you please just explain what happened. We are completely bewildered. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, yeah, I used to think like that 100 births ago. But when I started this mission, I said to Lord Chaitanya, he said, there is nothing I will not do to push on this movement. Whatever it takes to push on this movement, I will not hesitate to do it. So even to that extent, which seems kind of ghastly, but he was willing to do that. He was willing to make that sacrifice for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see in that all our great acharyas, they sacrificed everything. Gaukishodas Babaji Maharaj sacrificed his cloth, walked around in a gopin. Who can do that? Who can equal their austerities? So, Srila Prabhupada also, the great austerities he went to, we know it very well. But his main mission was to execute the order of his guru and print all these books that we hope we can distribute. And Srila Prabhupada, he was managing a worldwide movement, and you know, it was like brand new. Everything was new for us. We didn't even know how to clean ourselves properly. He had to teach us everything, like we were like babies. Everything was all brand new, the culture, everything. So this was Prabhupada's situation. He was managing a worldwide movement, and he said, I can't get time to write my books. My Guru Maharaj has given me the instruction, but all the time I'm answering all these different questions, which they wanted to know, and he had to tell them. So Srila Prabhupada said, I pray to Krishna that I may not be able to sleep at night, so then I can translate my books. And he said, Krishna gave me that benediction, and now I don't have to sleep. So this is Prabhupada. He gave up his sleeping for us. Those books are not for him. He knows Krishna. He's with Krishna. Those books are for us. But Prabhupada gave up his sacrifice, his sleeping, so we can get those books. And how much effort and attention Prabhupada put in these books. He would translate, he would have different commentaries of the Srimad Bhagavatam from different acharyas, like the tikkas of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, Sridhar Swami, and others. And he would put them on his desk, same shloka, same shloka on each book of the Srimad Bhagavatam that he was going to translate. So he would read all the acharyas' tikkas, their different explanations. Then he would condense all that into the Bhaktivedanta purport. This is how the Bhaktivedanta purport is made. It's the essence of studying all the acharyas' commentaries on that verse. Then Prabhupada would compile it. That would become his Bhaktivedanta purport. And Prabhupada was complaining one time that here we had the lotus building was the first building that we had in Mayapur, Sridhar Mayapur. And he said the devotees, they're sleeping there because that's the only place we had. And at night, he said they leave the doors open because it's very hot. Night time, the wind comes and it slams the doors and shut, he said. So disturbing. He said, when I'm writing my purports, he said, I read the tikkas of the other acharyas. He said, sometimes I'm waiting for one word that, you know, just expresses the mood of the different acharyas. One word I want. He says, sometimes I'm waiting 3 days just to get that one word. This is Prabhupada. For us, for our sake, look at the sacrifice these acharyas made. So you can be out in the windy streets of London and other places, but it's still our sacrifice, but it won't equal what Prabhupada and the acharyas have shown to us. I was never a book distributor, so I don't know why they asked me to speak on the marathon. But I'll tell you a Sankirtan story of the one Brahmachari. What was his name? Ramananda. Anyway, from Bengal. And the book distributors, they go off every year. They go out on holiday somewhere, have a break, and they go out different places. So this year they went to Nepal, went to the Gandaki, and they bought some Shalagram Shila back from Gandaki. So he asked me to identify it. And I was looking at the Shila and I said, it's got a little footprint of a calf in it. And I said, this is a Krishna Shila. It's got the calf's footprint on it. You know, the Shalagram, they have different lakshanas, chakras and things like that. So it said that if a person worships this Shila, if he adores this Shila throughout his life, he goes back home, back to Godhead. I said I'd let him know. I took the Shila. I said, I'll let you know. I'll have a look at it and I'll let you know. So this is what I found out when I was reading about the different symptoms, lakshanas on the Shalagram. So it says, this is significant. This calf's hoof print in the Shalagram, it means that you worship this deity, then the whole material universe shrinks to the size of the calf's hoof print and you just step over it. You go back to Godhead. So I thought, wow, I really like this Shila, go back to Godhead if I worship this Shila. I was thinking, I can get one, a real gold casket, a little nice gold one, and put them on, and wear them around my neck all the time, worship him, adore him every day. It's my ticket back home, back to Godhead. I hope he doesn't want to keep it. So the next day, I saw him and he said, so what is it? And so I explained to him the symptoms, and I said, it's a Krishna Shila. And I said, softly, I thought hope he wouldn't hear him, so do you want to worship, or, I can take over the worship? And he was thinking a bit, and he said, well, I'm Sankirtan, I go out on Sankirtan, and it'll be a botheration. I got to have paraphernalia for worshiping. I don't really have enough time or anything like that. So maybe I won't worship. I said, Adi Baba, this is your ticket back to Godhead, and you don't want it. He said, well, I think it'll interfere with my sankirtan. I felt about this big. This is the Sankirtan devotee's consciousness, but so, and my consciousness was so tiny, tiny. I was just thinking of myself going back to Godhead, and he was just thinking, oh, this going back to Godhead, it's going to interfere with his distributing books. He didn't even care that he wasn't going to go back to Godhead. Sankirtan Bhakta Vrindaki. I think I got the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because I distributed one book and it started me. Somehow or another, I took part. And I just met the devotees. This was in Jagannath Puri in 1971. And it was a Rathyatra festival. Somehow or another, I was there. I didn't know anything about it. And I saw the devotees. They were doing some Harinam Samkirtan, and they were also distributing some back to Godhead. So anyway, I approached them. I'd seen them a couple of times in London, different clubs and things like that. They were very popular in the 70s. They were in demand, actually. They used to book them for appear in different clubs. And they used to teach us the Swami step and chanting Hare Krishna. Right there in Wardour Street. We saw one club. I saw them in a few clubs, Roundhouse at Chalk Farm. They were very, very popular. They were part of the scene at that time. They were adding that spiritual touch to it. Anyway, but I hadn't spoken to them. But then I saw them there in Puri. And I said, why are you chanting Krishna's names? I said, in Hinduism, the highest aspect of Hinduism, this trinity, you have Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu. This is my understanding at that time. Anyway, this is the highest conception in Hinduism. So why are you not chanting Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu's name? Why are you chanting Krishna's name? So the new bhakta, he said, well, we chant Krishna's name because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And it just struck me. I think, well, I've been about a year in India meeting so many sadhus and things like that. No one ever told me God was a person before. No one. Here is a new bhakta from Australia also. And Prabhupada left the deities there. He said, I've left you in the hand of the malechus. Please, may they take good care of you. So here is new bhakta from Malecha Desh. But he told me, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. I've been meeting so many sadhus, Hrishikesh, what was his name, that Swami Shivananda, hearing them speaking, that nobody told me that Krishna was the supreme personality. God is the person. Nobody said that. So this is the first thing he said. So it struck me. And I was kind of stumped. You know, I always had so many arguments when I was talking with people. I come out with this, come out with that. He couldn't say anything. I was kind of... So anyway... So then they showed me Prabhupada's Gita. I was reading Gita, not Prabhupada's. I couldn't understand anything. But as soon as I read Prabhupada's Gita, everything made sense. And so anyway, he said, look, take this magazine back to Godhead magazine. We'll see you tomorrow. You come back tomorrow here and we can speak some more. So, okay. So then they left and I had this magazine and I opened it up and then someone come up and said, are you selling those magazines? I said, yeah, 2 rupees. I sold a book, the first book. I distributed the book. Hurry on. After that, the devotees, next day I saw them, they took me back where they were staying, and then they started to preach to me. And from there, I went to Calcutta, and I never left after that. I got that one book. got me the mercy of the Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Sankirtan ki jaya. What else? Sankirtan. My bad luck, I couldn't go on the Sankirtan. A little bit, I went in Calcutta. Anyway, maybe I'm doing a little bit by sitting in Mayapur. Worshiping Panchatattva. It's their movement. So Panchatattva, we have to receive the mercy of Panchatattva because they are the Yuga avatars. They've come to give us this Krishna consciousness. And only through Panchatattva we can attain perfection in this life. Krishna has come as in 5 features, Panchatattva, Pamakam Krishnam, Bhakta Rupa Shrupakam, Bhakta Aravdaram, Bhakta Kyam, Pramami Bhakta Shakti Kam. Five features. Jai Sisi Radha Gokula Nanda Juki Jagannath Swami Ki Gonitai Ki Jai. So they've come to give the Yuga Dharma, and we have to go through these Panchatattva. This her progression is here. That first we approach Srivas Thakur. Srivas Thakur we know is Narad Muni, pure devotee of the Lord. So first we approach Srivas, the pure devotee in our spiritual life. Yeah? Everybody knows it. You should take initiation, take shelter of a pure devotee like that. So Srivas, he is Bhakta Kyam, he is like Bhakta. He is Jeev Tattva, but he's in pure condition. He's in his constitution as the eternal servant of Krishna. So he's like pure Vishnu Tattva, Jeeva Tattva, but in pure consciousness of his constitution. So first we approach that pure devotee, and he gives us the process of Krishna consciousness. Following the process of sadhana bhakti, the process of initiation, connection to the parampara, back to Godhead. He gives us the... So Guru is representing Srivas at that time. And then when we get the message from the different acharyas, he teaches us the message of the different acharyas. That represents Advaita Acharya. The Guru represents Advaita Acharya. He's giving you the process. Advaita Acharya came to give the process of devotional service. He called the Lord, two specific things he's famous for. He called the Lord with his loud chanting, and he gave the process of devotional service. Advaita Acharya. So then we learn the process from the acharyas, and as a result of that, we become purified, all the anarthas go, and then we go enter into the spiritual realm of the Vishuddha Sattva platform. That is represented by Nityananda Prabhu. He expands as the Vishuddha Sattva plane. He expands as Navadvip Dham, he expands as Vrindavan Dham. Wherever Krishna comes, Nityananda will expand, Balaram will expand. His bed, his couch, or Ananta Dev. Whenever the Lord is coming, then Nityananda Balaram will expand and become his seat, his shoes, and things like that. By the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, then we understand the Vishuddha Sattva, the pure transcendental realm. We're out of the modes of material nature. By the grace of Nityananda, Narottam Das Thakur says, what is the person, symptom of a person who's achieved the mercy of Nityananda? He said, he's happy. He's happy. He's out of the modes of material nature. He's in the spiritual realm. So now you're in the spiritual realm. What next? Okay, you got out the material world through the grace of Srivas and Advaita Acharya and Nityananda Prabhu. You're in the spirit. Now what do you do? So then you approach Agadatha Pandit, who's a Haladini potency. This is Narottam Das Thakur singing this progression also. Rupa Raghu. When will I be eager to understand the teachings of the six Goswamis, Rupam Raghunath? Because these are Haladini potency also. Rupa Goswami is an expansion of Srimati Radharani. So we're approaching that Haladini potency. That's Gadadhar's potency. He's Gadadhar Pandit. The pleasure potency of the Lord. So that's represented. So then actually Guru at that time when he... Krishna's mercy. Krishna gives his mercy for his devotees to distribute. So anyway, when the devotees recommend you to Krishna, then Krishna, okay, if you accept him, I must accept him. So he bestows his mercy, his Haladini potency descends upon the jiva, and then he's able to enter into the platform of reciprocation. with Radha and Krishna through the mercy of the Haladini potency. Krishna only deals with the Haladini potency, so we have to become imbued with that emotion also by the mercy of Gadadhara Pandit. Then Krishna becomes interested. Oh, my bhakti shakti is there, my Haladini potency, pleasure potency. So Krishna's business is pleasure. God is one, he becomes many for his pleasure. So that's his business. So when one is endowed with this potency, then one can enter, Krishna becomes interested. this is our constitutional nature. We want to try and get back into that Haladini potency, that atmosphere of where Krishna becomes interested. And then we can actually approach and serve Krishna, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha Krishna. So this becomes the progression. And so finally, by the mercy of Gadadhara, we get the mercy of Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna. So we get their mercy through this way. So this is the only way to approach. And Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, in the talking about the Haladini potency, last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the last shloka of Bhagavad Gita, the last purport of Bhagavad Gita, the last paragraph of Bhagavad Gita, last sentence of Bhagavad Gita. Anybody knows what it says? Book distributors, you must know the books. Anyway, Prabhupada says, that the living entity, he is marginal potency, he has independence. When he uses it properly, again he comes into the Haladini potency, the pleasure-giving potency of Krishna, his natural constitutional position. So this is where Prabhupada's Gita has taken us. He's the author. The author often reveals the real intention of his work right at the end of the book. So here Prabhupada, in the last sentence, Prabhupada's revealed his intention of Bhagavad Gita as it is, to take us back into that Haladini atmosphere where we can again serve Krishna with love and devotion. So this is how the Panchatattva function in Kali Yuga. We have to go through Panchatattva. They are the Yuga avatars. But we go through step by step. We shouldn't try to jump over. So like this, when we accept the Guru, then the Guru represents all these different tattvas. He reveals them as by his grace. He will reveal as we progress in our Krishna consciousness. So Guru is representing all these different tattvas. According to our realization, he can reveal. In the beginning, he reveals as Shrivas, and as you follow the process, he becomes as a Advaita. Krishna Das Kaviraj says, after explaining these tattvas in Chaitanya, then Guru, he's the sixth tattva. He becomes the sixth tattva, Guru, because he can. And he said that the Guru tattva is very difficult to understand. Two tattvas very difficult to understand, Shiva tattva and Guru tattva. Because Shiva, he's like yogurt. You know, he's Krishna, but he's come adulterated. A little bit, like yogurt. When milk becomes adulterated or mixed with something sour, it becomes yogurt. It's milk, but it's yogurt. It's not exactly milk anymore, but it's nothing but a transformation. So therefore, Lord Shiva is very difficult to understand. Is he Vishnu Tattva or is he... But Guru Tattva is even more difficult to understand. Because Guru can represent all of those different tattvas. He can represent Srivastava as a pure devotee. He can represent Advaita Acharya. He represents Nityananda Prabhu, the Adi Guru. We also know he represents Srimata Radharani at Haladini, the Adi Guru. She's also the Guru. And also, then the Guru also represents Krishna. Shakshatri Trinashamastasasi. So Guru Tattva is even more difficult because he can manifest so many different features. But according to our realization, then we'll see where it doesn't mean that guru is only on one level, but he can manifest, but according to our realization, he will manifest himself. So like this, in Kali Yuga, we have to go through the process of that's being adopted by these five avatars, they're the Yuga avatars, the Panchatattva. And we serve them by serving their representatives who have picked up on their intentions, who know their intentions, their desires, how they want to establish the Yuga Dharma. So in what ways we can do that, that is glorious. And Srila Prabhupada, so expert in finding all these different ways to please Panchatattva. Of course, the desire of direct desire of the Lord is there to build this wonderful temple in Sri Dhammayapur. So Prabhupada's pushed that, is it going ahead now? Prabhupada so expertly picked up book distribution. He said, when I read the purport of Vyasatmika Buddhi Rekiha Kuru Nandana verse, second chapter 42 or 1 or 3 or something. Prabhupada said, when I read that purport and the from Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur's translation, it says that one's consciousness should be fixed on one point, Vyasatmika Buddhi. So then he describes, what is that one point that your consciousness should be fixed on? Not like meditation, also you fix your mind on one point, but that's one thing only, there's nothing. But he said, no, it's not like that, on just on one thing, but it's fixed on how to please, satisfy the Lord, how to fulfill his desires. So then we have unlimited focuses. We can be Vyasatmika Buddhi. It's not only one process, by book distribution, by deity worship, by so many processes, we can be fixed. So when Prabhupada read that, and he read the purport, and where Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur also explained that, he also quoted Yasha Prashada Bhagavat Prashad, without the mercy of the Guru, no one can make any advancement in spiritual life. And Prabhupada said, when I read that purport, and Prabhupada said, it struck me. And I remembered what my Guru Maharaj had told me, how if I get money, I should distribute and print books. He said, so I made that. That became my life and soul, to execute the order of Guru, and especially for distributing these books. It became my life and soul. And Prabhupada said, I based the International Society for Krishna Consciousness on this principle. Being fixed in the order of Guru, making the order of the Guru your life and soul. He said, I based the whole society on this principle. That's the whole society. We're all individuals. We have our own individual Krishna consciousness. So we can also base our individual Krishna consciousness on that same principle. Prabhupada's the acharya, he's the acharya, one who sets example. This is how Prabhupada became Krishna conscious. This is how he showed us as the acharya to become Krishna conscious. Take the order of the Guru as your life and soul. So Prabhupada showed that by his own example. So we can follow that. He's the acharya, we should follow that. But we have unlimited ways to fix, become dedicated to executing the orders of the Guru. But we know that the most special engagement was these Prabhupada's book distribution. Everybody knows very well. This is the greatest way to please Srila Prabhupada. And simultaneously, maintain temples, build temples, every book. There used to be a saying in the early days, every book is a brick. You're a brick in Mayapur. You say every book you distribute around the world is like a brick for Mayapur. So glories to the book distributors. I wish you great success here in London. You may come second this year. Oh, no, maybe you can come first. Anyway. Mayapur, of course. Anyway, we'll try. So it's 8:30. I was asked to finish at 8:30. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Radha Gokulananda chuki. Samaveda Bhakta Brinda ki jai. Nitai Go Premanandi. Haribol. Haribol.